I have a special guest, Mr. Rob V. He is a front man. He is Mr. Rockstar himself. Rob, welcome to the Goldamex Lunchbox. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Ella. Good to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you on board and nice to have you in studio face-to-face because we always love your music. I play a lot of Dig the Dust because they are just so rockin' and good and everybody loves them. But it's really nice to have you here as an independent artist and just have a chat with what's been going on. I thought we might start, though, just a little touch on... Where did you start in music? Where did the itch come from? Has it always been something you've done or did you have an aha moment?
Well, I guess it definitely started with family, just listening to music, growing up, you know, with parents' influences, and they always loved music. But I guess like the performing side of it definitely came from school. I was a clarinet player.
Oh, there you go. Bingo. So
cool.
Was I.
Cool instrument. Not. But anyway.
I'm hearing you.
yeah, but that gave me a sense of performing in a band. And actually, that was part of the John Clark Memorial Band in Denmark at Denmark Senior High School. And what we used to do once a year was actually travel to Perth and compete in a band competition, a school campus band competition up there.
Yeah.
So we would all hop in a bus, load all the gear into a trailer.
Oh, exciting.
And we would go town to town and play in different towns and we would stay overnight and billet out with different families we got to Perth and then we would compete up there at John Forrest Senior High School.
The Battle of the Bands, man, the original. Yeah.
So this was all, you know, playing a clarinet and I was like 12, 11, 12, 13. Yeah. And that, I think, sort of paved the way, really, for what the rock and roll lifestyle ended up being because that's what it was. It was travel, stop in this place, play there.
Yeah.
Just travel, yeah. So that was really where it began. And it was when I was probably 14 that I, you know, I was much more of a fan of rock music and heavy music at the time. So that was the progression to getting a guitar.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. So that was something that you just went, probably clarinet wasn't quite cool enough for the scene, I'd imagine, at the time. So you went, I need to get a guitar and step into something a lot cooler. And did you teach yourself other than on your guitar or did you have a teacher or somebody who mentored you at that stage?
Not really, no. It was just kind of like, these are my idols and this is the music that I love listening to and this is what I want to do. And I mean, when I started learning, it was back in the late 80s, early 90s, I guess, showing my age. But that was when tablature had started and it made an easy way for people to be able to learn how to play their, you know, the songs that they love without being able to read music. Even though I knew how to read music for clarinet, it didn't transpond through to guitar. So that was, and a lot of it was ear too. I mean, we used to learn, you know, we used to learn how to play songs and had no idea. There was no YouTube. There was no...
No, it was actually a lot harder. I was thinking that the other night. I was downloading some chords for a song and I went, it was a lot harder, wasn't it, back then? Because you actually had to use your ear training and it actually meant that you could... Yeah, but it made
it good in a lot of ways.
It was as a traineeship, but took a bit longer, didn't it? So from there, you kind of went, right, music is what I want to do. It starts the, and once the itch is there, it doesn't go anywhere, does it?
No. It's always there.
Yeah. And did you have your mum in the background going, oh my gosh, how are you going to make a lifestyle out of this, son?
Oh, for sure. No doubt there was, you know, family must have, you know, been shaking their heads and going, God, what is he going to do? What are they doing with their lives?
Yeah.
But they were really supportive and I can't
knock
that.
That's so nice.
And, but it's a shaky road to sort of start off and try and live and survive and get around and promote yourself and record and, you know, it's not cheap to record. It's cheaper now to record in a lot of ways and can be. And, but back in the day, you know, to get into a studio, it was not easy.
Yeah, definitely really hard yards back then. And you're one of the big bands that you were involved with was 43 Cambridge. Tell us a little bit about 43 Cambridge. That was a long industry of time in the industry with you with that band, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. So it was probably close to 20 years in the end. The guys are still going. They're playing as a four-piece now and I'm not with them anymore because I've got a lot of other things going on and I've relocated down here to the South Coast. But yeah, we did, I think we celebrated 1500 gigs in 15 years, I think was like one of the big celebrations towards the end.
Oh my goodness, 100 gigs a year.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's huge.
Yeah, so we did four studio albums and one live album, and based off the back of each of those releases, we would organise an Eastern States tour. And we had the bus, the trailer, the PA. So we would drive and do shows all the way along, like we did back in the high school band.
Yeah.
And then we would get to the cities and, do, you know, all original showcases in, Adelaide and Melbourne and Sydney.
Were you doing covers as well as part of that?
We were, and that was the only way. We were one of the few bands that were actually going over there and coming back even. A lot of other original bands that would fly over, get the Tarago, hire the band gear. It was often costing a lot of money to put on tours like that. But, I mean, it's just a different way of doing it, I guess.
Well, it is. Look, I even think now there's a space where you kind of have to step into covers to get your name out there. If you're doing all originals, it's a much harder yard to get people on board and start listening. I don't know what your thoughts are around that one.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the culture in Australia has been cover bands since the, 80s, really. Mm. And I mean, there's lots of arguments for and against cover music, and some people can be quite sort of stern in their belief in one way or the other. But in the end, the cover gigs have allowed us to make a bit of money from music and be full time with music.
Yeah.
And it's supported our families. And, I'm currently doing both original and cover music and supporting my family with it. So, I can't knock that.
Absolutely. It becomes about bread and butter if that's what you're doing as your job. You have to make a living out of it, don't you? So
that's it. Yeah.
Well, let's have a little listen back in the day to some of your 43 Cambridge. Now, this is from the CD that I've got in my hands here called Prank Monkey, and it came out in 2003. What are we going to have a listen to on this one?
Dig Your Own, I think, might be the one to play. Yeah, it's one of my favourite tracks off the album, and it's just got a really good sentiment about it. And
and what were you doing on this particular album? Were you vocals, or you were pretty much lead guitar, weren't you?
I was lead guitar, yes, and backup vocals, mostly in the live situation, but there is a little bit on the albums as well.
But, fabulous. Yeah. Well, let's go and have a little listen to it, shall we? 43 Cambridge, Mr. Rob V is who we are talking to, our very own rock star. And this is back in the day, and this one's called Dig Your Own.
ready, Albany. Lock in this date, Thursday the 1st of June. Get yourself down to TNC Supplies for the Milwaukee Powered Up one-day event. That's right, it's only on for one day. With over $30,000 in bonus products to be given away with Milwaukee products on the day. You'd be crazy to miss this one. The Milwaukee Powered Up one-day event on at TNC Supplies, 139 Chester Pass Road. Just look for the big spanner.
A good photographer has a keen eye for detail, creativity, imagination, and passion. Does your photographer have these qualities and more? If not, you need to contact DTK Photography. DTK Photography specialise in musician, performance, theatre capture, on-location photography, art openings, events, band shoots, big birthday events and corporate gatherings. And if you're looking for that intimate photo, you are welcome to come to our in-home studio. Have your special moments captured for you to remember. Give DTK Photography a call on 0499 489 857 and like us on Facebook. DTK Photography, simply the best.
Warm up this winter with great savings from Bronx. 25% off flannelette sheet sets, quilt cover sets, napery and towels. 20% off blankets, quilts, pillows, home decor and electric blankets. Everything to keep you nice and warm during these cold and chilly nights. There are more savings in store. Call in and grab your winter specials. Sale ends Saturday, 27th of May. Bronx are located at 34 Graham Street.
The Lunchbox on Gold MX.
Yes, a welcome back. And we've just been having a little listen to 43 Cambridge before we went to those ads, and a great song. And we've still got Rob V in studio with us, our very own rock star. Thanks for sticking around and coming in and having a chat today, Rob. Lovely to have a chat with you.
Likewise.
And 43 Cambridge, loving it. You did a whole lot of touring with a whole lot of big bands back in the day, which would have been just huge getting you out there. Jimmy Barnes at the old Doodly Pub.
Oh, that was massive. Yeah, that was yeah, that was a big show.
Oh, would
and,
have been
and a big night. And he was great, you know. He was really nice guy. And yeah, both times we played with Jimmy, yeah, he took time out to come and stand side of stage and watch us play.
Oh, wow.
And you know, I was blown away by that for someone like him, and he just really made the effort. And yeah, the 43 Cambridge lead singer Ray, he actually got invited up to play harmonica with Jimmy.
Oh, no way. What a moment.
Yeah, second encore or something.
My gosh. What a moment. Rock royalty, absolutely. We were bowing down to you. You've been on the same bill as Jimmy Barnes.
Just lucky.
Yeah. But good at what you do too. You put in the time and the effort. You know, this doesn't come, you don't get to be good musicians just from luck. It's not all talent either, is it? Let's be honest. There's how many years of hard work did it take you?
Yeah, well, I guess we're looking at 26 plus years of live performing, I guess, and then learning the instrument before that, obviously. But
absolutely. Now you are known around town as a third of Dig the Dust, and we all love Dig the Dust. But during COVID, you were kind of forced to take a bit of a different look, because you've been a performance musician for pretty much all your working life, and suddenly that is taken away from you. You were forced to review things. What happened? What did you do with all that time and that musicianship?
Yeah, well, that was it. I mean, it was every muso around, everybody, in fact. We were all in lockdown and couldn't go anywhere, and that's the way it was. So we messed around. I messed around with the Dig the Dust guys, doing the Zoom calls and trying to jam over the internet and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It just didn't happen.
No, it's too much lag, isn't it? It just doesn't work.
Too much lag. Yeah. No matter what speed you've got, it's not going to work.
No.
So anyway, we did do some fun videos where we recorded some stuff to Click Tracks and sent each other video footage and audio of each other, and then they would send back their tracks, their recorded tracks, to me, and I would mix them together and put them together in, for little social media posts and stuff, just to keep in touch with people. And it was fun to do and see them playing, and so that was really cool. But the other thing that came out of it was a full solo album, which I had no intention of doing, to be honest. I got to thank my daughter, Amber, because she had an original song And I'd said to myself, like, I need to knuckle down and record this song for her. So we ended up recording that song for her to get it into Triple J Unearthed.
Great.
Unearthed High. Mm. And then I started looking at stuff that I'd sort of recorded loosely. I had bits and pieces all over the place, just recorded down and not finished. Yeah. So I had the time and I just started working on this stuff. And sort of the tail end of the album is probably the more acoustic stuff. And that is probably the stuff that I had sort of down. But I actually started doing a track with My Girls and using electronic drums, samples and some synth and stuff like that, using some arpeggios. And that was when we wrote Deep Blue, which I think is a track you might play.
Yeah, I think we'll go and play that in a moment.
Yeah, so one of my daughters, Jade, she actually set up the beats for that.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And played the synth bass line.
So it's a whole family effort. Fantastic. Yeah. Yeah.
And my other daughter, Amber, actually sings the key hook in the chorus, I guess, the Deep Blue.
Fantastic. Because it is a different world. Becoming a producer really is what it is, isn't it? And you're sitting there and you're using this technology. How did you go with that?
Yeah. Oh, look, it was great. I mean, I've been in the studio, you know, quite a bit over the years. So I understood, how to layer things and how to mix things and stuff like that, and work with software, because we'd always worked with Pro Tools predominantly in most of the studios. So I was paying attention with the engineer and the producer at the time, and learning as much as I could. So I kind of had that knowledge there, but yeah, working from home and doing it all myself and working with a really basic system was definitely different. Yeah. But, you know, I just trusted my ear, and that was kind of like,
yeah,
if it sounds good, then I'll go with that, you know. And that was kind of the main drive behind it, was just to use my ear and trust it and work from there.
Yeah. So this was your debut solo album, and you put it out, came out in 2021, I believe. Now, I think we should go and have a little listen to it. It's called Illusions, the album. I've had a listen to most of the tracks on it, not necessarily all the way through each track, but I really love it because I love a bit of techno, I love a bit of synth, and it blends, it's kind of sits almost in that new age, but that sound is very fashionable at the moment. Bands are bringing back that 80s new age, new wave kind of sound.
Yeah, and I didn't intentionally do that. It was just, Moog did bring out a free app of their
thank
classic
you,
synth
Moog.
Back, and it was right in lockdown. And I was like, whoa, I'm going to download that app and check
it
out.
Forward.
And then I put it through my PA system, and it was like, wow, this actually sounds pretty damn cool. MIDI keyboard, away we go.
Yeah, excellent.
So, yeah.
Oh, well, let's have a little listen. What are we listening to?
Deep Blue.
Well, let's go and have a listen to that one. And Rob V, everyone, is who we are chatting to in studio. Deep Blue, off Illusions.
The sun is
Oh my gosh, Mr. Rob V, who we all know as Mr. Rockstar and Dig the Dust frontman. But I tell you what, that is a left of centre. You've taken a real lefty there, and I love it. How much fun was that to put together?
Yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun. I have both my daughters involved in that song, and obviously Amber is singing the hook. My other daughter laying down the beat for it to start it off, and played the synth bass actually.
Yeah, fantastic.
As well. So it's really cool.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was a lot of fun, and it was very natural. Like, it just happened, and it was one of those, I wish I had more time.
Yeah. Like, would you explore it again further if you had the opportunity?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So much fun. And I just love that it's brought out a different side of your musicianship. And we're talking how inspiring these different beats and different sounds you can get to put into your production music, how it can inspire songs. But we're also talking about the fact that it opens up your mind for production next time as an artist. If you go into the studio to record, it will change the way you see production a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a different way of writing completely. I mean, that album was written from the ground up in my studio at home, you know. It's really a different way of writing. Like I said to you before, it was with the band, it's, you know, you spend hours and hours and hours and rehearse these songs and get them to where they, you know, you're happy, and you go in and you record them the way that you've, you know, had them mapped out into your head.
Yeah.
Whereas this is actually building from the ground up, and it was either working from, you know, an acoustic bass thing, or it was working from more beat.
So beat probably ground. A little bit more organic in one sense. It's still the same process, but it's just done in a different environment, isn't it? And that's you and your daughter, isn't it? You haven't got two other people or three other people putting input. It's just you, which is great too.
Yeah, it is great, but it is tricky in a lot of other ways as well, because you start doubting yourself in a lot of ways. It's like, oh, I haven't got these other people here to tell me whether that's shit or not.
That's all right. It's an S bomb. It's good. Yeah.
Not having that feedback either is another thing. But that did come a bit later, actually. And like I say, I didn't really plan on putting this out, but I had sort of had that concentrated 3 months of recording. And then I did catch up with the guys after that and played it. And they were like, no, you just got to do it. Just put it out.
Nice. So what have other people thought about it? Have you had much feedback around it?
Had some great feedback from all over the place, actually. And there's been really positive stuff coming from all over Australia.
Fantastic. And
actually, it was quite interesting to hear that, you know, people in Europe and that are liking it and listening to it as well. So,
oh, wow. Look at you go, conquering the world, my friend.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it's when you get that feedback from the other side of the world. And, I mean, that's just the day and age we're in now, I guess. You know, if music's up on Spotify and you've got clips up on YouTube or whatever, anyone can see it anywhere. So... that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, fabulous. Well, let's go and have one more listen to. If you're interested in getting hold of the album, it's called Illusions. Can they people stream it and get it online? Go and have a look under Rob V and go and check it out. So the first half is really sitting in that production electronic kind of feel, and then it becomes a little bit more guitar driven and what you would expect from Rob V in the last half. So it's kind of almost a dual personality album, which I really like too. But I'd love exploring this different side of you. So can we go and play one more tune? Are you happy to stick around and we'll just have a bit more of a chat when we come back after listening to this tune?
Sure.
Beautiful. Now, I particularly love this one, the Carmen line, because it's really around the beats. It's really about the electronic. And you've got this kind of subversive kind of vocal sitting underneath. And I like that role reversal that you've got in this. So what was the aim of the song? What was the thoughts behind it?
It started off as an instrumental predominantly, and you'll notice that there's no real lyrics in the song. Carmen Line is it. So, I guess it was about a feeling and what the music made me feel like. And it was, there is a bit of a sort of, I've always had a tendency for sort of space or, you know, that, I mean, David Bowie straight away planted that in my head a long time ago. There is a few songs on this record that are sort of working around space. Forever Be Your One is another song that is basically a love relationship between the moon and Earth.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's, so it's a love song from,
beautiful.
A song from that. So that's basically what that is. But the Kármán line is an invisible line. If you don't know what it is, it's an invisible line around the Earth's atmosphere, and it is the it's kind of like the defining
edge of it.
There's no define, but it's kind of like the spot where you go from Earth's gravity to nothing.
Fabulous. So it's the balance, isn't it, sitting at the Earth's fence.
And that's kind of like, I feel like the song leads you up into that and then.
Oh, well, let's go and have a little listen. Kármán line. The Kármán line by Rob V.
Scott Leary here, talking about shopping local. Your values and desires are more influential to your local community business than the big stores. It's a fact that businesses respond to their customers. You matter more to small businesses. Be loyal and shop and support local.
Hi, it's Bob from Leading Edge Hi-Fi. If you need electronic gear, forget the chain stores and come to where the real range is. As an authorised JCAR stockist, we have everything from components, tools, test gear, to security, radio communications, caravanning accessories, solar panels, and plenty more. And don't think we've forgotten Hi-Fi and video. We have the leading brands plus decades of technical expertise for a superior audiovisual experience. Leading Edge Hi-Fi, 133 Lockyer Avenue.
For the best in sound.
Leading Edge Hi-Fi, now open Saturday afternoons.
Albany Screen Printers, located on Minna Street, is a local business whose business is promoting and supporting yours. Albany Screen Printers supply and print excellent quality t-shirts, polos, workwear, sportswear, stubby holders, and so many other promotional products. With over 25 years experience and the only local screen printer in town, call Brad today. We'll make your business stand out from the rest. For the best service in town, call Albany Screen Printers on 9841 8755.
The Lunchbox on Gold MX.
making the other kids jealous since 1995.
If you're just joining us, we have got Rob V in studio here. He is our original rock star. Coming from Walpole, he has had a well-trodden life in music, and he's digged the dust, well, a third of Dig the Dust, and got him in studio today, and we've been having a chat and exploring his album, his debut solo album, Illusions. Go check that out online if you can. Can people purchase a copy, Rob?
Yes, I do have CDs available at the show. So, yes. Yeah, if people want to get a CD,
make sure you go along, because I think that's one of the best ways we can support our musos, because streaming is a very tenuous way to make a living. We all know they're not huge. So get along and support and buy some CDs, because that merch certainly makes a difference for all of our musos. And great sounds, great mix of tunes on there. I've really enjoyed the whole listen. Now, let's just have a quick chat about Dig the Dust, because last year you guys went up and did an amazing trip, and I just want to dig a little bit on that one. Tell us about your trip. Where did you go?
Okay, so yeah, that was Cocos Island last October. Can you believe it?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so time's flying. But that was an amazing experience for sure. We were lucky to be invited over there to play two community shows and also do two school workshops over there. And it was to help the CRC celebrate their 20th anniversary over there.
How on earth, CRC, Cocos Islands, Dig the Dust, Walpole, you couldn't get further opposed. How did that come about?
So a good friend of ours in Denmark, who was a school teacher at the school that my girls go to at Denmark, and she actually taught at the primary school over there some years ago. So that was the connection. And a friend of hers said, you know, what bands should we get to come over? And our name was thrown in the hat. And we got talking one thing led to another. And then, so that was really what got the ball rolling.
What an amazing experience.
It was absolutely amazing. Yeah, very amazing place. If you get a chance to go there, it's just beautiful.
Yeah, it looks lovely. I did see some photos up online that you had, and you showed me a canoe trip that you went out on, and I just went, oh my gosh, jealousy central. The water looks amazing. And how was the music received? Because they're Cocos Keeling, they are sitting in that Malaysian space.
That's right, yes. Yeah. There is a Malaysian culture there, so they all live on the home island.
Yeah.
And then the other island is predominantly the sort of tourist island. But it's, when I say tourist, it's not – a lot of people go over there expecting a resort, but it's not. It's kind of like if you've ever been to Peaceful Bay, it's kind of like that.
It would have been amazing.
Little shacks and, you know, just beach lifestyle and just –
So is that the island you went to?
We went to both.
Both, wow.
Yeah, so we did a show on each island and also a school workshop on each island, because there's two schools. There's the Malay school on the home island and the more Australian expat school, which is also the high school. So the Malay kids come over to West Island and do their high school there.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So how were you guys received up there? Because it is a little bit different, culturally different. So
it is, but because it's part of the Australian territories and they're, you know, they are influenced by Australian and world culture, really. I mean, they've all got iPhones
and global,
devices and on socials and all that sort of stuff. So they're pretty connected and aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
But they do still cherish their heritage and their Muslim belief as well. Yeah, it was amazing to sort of deep dive into that and get to meet them. And to be honest, I thought, wow, how are they going to go, you know, with a rock band of three guys, you know, come over and start playing loud music and everything. But we when we had to ferry all the equipment, which was provided by the schools over there, ferry it across to home island in order to do the performance over there. And there were some guys that met us at the jetty to help unload the gear.
Yeah.
Actually, they did it all. I'm used to carrying stuff, but they just kind of got in there.
Oh, you're the rock star, man.
But the first thing they said to me, and we, you know, this is in the back of my mind, like, oh, how are we going to go with this, you know, with how we are and loud and rock and big drums and da da da. But we got off, and the guy said to me, oh, so do you know any Iron Maiden or Deep Purple or Def Leppard?
You're going, oh, yeah, not quite.
And I was like, whoa, actually, no, we're not playing any of that. Yeah. But that kind of set the bar.
Yeah, good.
And I thought, no, we'll be fine.
You'll be all good.
Yeah, and it was really great. Actually, there was a one of our songs, actually, I think you play a fair bit, Touch the Sky.
Yeah.
We'd played that throughout the day because we'd done like five different school workshops with different year groups.
Yeah.
And we played a cover song, and we played a couple of our original songs. Touch the Sky was one of them we sort of played. And this old guy was sitting on his front porch with a broken leg. And he heard the song Touch the Sky like five times that day, and came to the performance at the night time with the markets. And he called over the manager of the CRC and got her to come over and ask us if we could play Touch the Sky again.
Oh, my goodness, because he loved it so much. Oh, that's gorgeous.
Yeah, so that was a win for us. I thought, well, yeah, that's cool. He's
fantastic.
He obviously liked it.
And I'm really hoping you inspired some kids there to go, I love music. This is what, and it's achievable. Look at these guys.
Oh, big time. So the first day we were there, we did a school workshop on West Island. And that all was multiple workshops throughout the day for different year groups. And we finished that at the end of the school day, packed all the gear up, and we're about to leave the school. And this little girl is waiting outside the classroom for us to come out. And she's got a beanie on. She's in Cocos Island.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
And she's like, I play guitar. Oh,
cute.
Okay, and we get talking, and she knows how to play Vance Joy's Riptide. She goes, well, we can do that. And we had a show on that island coming up in a few days' time. And I said, look, we'll work it out, and you can get up and play it with us.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
How cool
and
is this?
So anyway, a few days go past, and we have all this other stuff going on, and the show is over in Home Island. And then we came back and did the show on the second last night on West Island. And she comes up to me early that day, and she goes, well, we've actually got a full band going. Is it all right if the full band plays?
Oh,
like
my
three
goodness.
Songs. And can you sing one of the songs with us?
Oh, my goodness. How gorgeous is
so
this?
Within a few days. And then at the end of that show, the parents of the drummer and the bass player came up to me, and they said, we didn't even know that our kids knew how to play an instrument. And they were just like
on
the verge of tears.
Oh.
And so it was a really magic moment. And
a whole lot of magic.
And I have heard from the music teacher over there since that they had an end of year concert for the first time at Christmas time last year. So
inspired.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet that feels really good. Beyond the experience and taking your music there, just that connection and what you've done is quite powerful, isn't it? So
it was awesome.
Yeah.
Really
what an
cool.
amazing experience. And oh, sounds like an amazing time. And would you go back?
Of course.
Yeah, in a heartbeat. Yeah,
Absolutely.
Just got to get some funding to get up there and make it happen.
Yes.
Oh, look, it's been an absolute pleasure. I could keep talking to you about music, but it's been an absolute pleasure. And I think we need to finish on a Dig the Dust song in just a moment. But I do want to thank you for having a chat today, coming in and chatting through your music and you as a solo artist and telling us a little bit about that amazing experience up in the Cocos Keeling Islands. So thank you so much, Rob V. And keep writing the music, keep exploring music, and we cannot wait to see what happens next with Rob V, the rock star producer, musician, clarinet player. Oh, who
yeah.
knew that secret is out? What are we going to go and listen to, Rob?
I think, well, a track that might not get played that often, but Dead Man is the first track off the album. And I really like that track. It kind of just like, it says we're here, you know,
yeah.
It's just like, let's get it on.
Yeah.
And so that's why I chose this song, because I really like it.
And tell us just why you do something in this one that you don't usually do. I'm going to make you say it.
Yeah, so I actually recorded the saxophone parts at home and took them up to Poon's Head, and we added those in.
So there you go, Mr. Rob V on a saxophone. Take a listen, Dead Man Part 2. Thank you so much, Mr.
Thank
Rob
you.
V.
Thank you for having me.
Gold MX, keeping it local.